a deal is a deal, no matter how twisted the bargaining. It's nightfall. Good evening, dear friends. This is Frederick Hend, with a tale that can truly be described as ghoulish. As many of you will understand, in these troubled times of recession and unemployment, it can be very tempting to stretch the rules a bit to make ends meet. Tonight, we journey to the past and meet a man who has to stretch very far to resolve his economic problems. The play, written by Edmonton author T.E. Thallows, is entitled "But Oh, What Happened to Hutchings?" The place is England, and the times are very tough indeed. Listen.
Facing a revolution in modern medicine. We've come a long way since bloodletting. It's really the most exciting area for a man to be in.
Nonetheless, Hutchings, I find the concept of taking up a blade and simply slicing open a warm human body quite revolting.
Oh, come, come, Tallman. Surely you can't be serious. You speak as if we were still in the Dark Ages.
Well, near enough.
Oh, here we are. Just let me knock for you. Mrs. Candle keeps a good house, you'll find.
Mr. Hutchins.
Morning, Mrs. Candle. May I present Mr. James Tallman? He's attending seminary at St. Martin's. I met him on the train from Southampton. He's looking for a house to board, and naturally I thought of you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Tallman, won't you come in?
Oh, thank you. Are you coming, Mr. Hutchins?
No, I have other things I must attend to. I'll be by later. Now, take care of Tallman, Mrs. Candle.
Thank you for your kindness, Mr. Hutchins.
Have you your things with you, Mr. Tallman? Beg your pardon.
I've only this bag with me. There are two steamer trunks held back by the station master. I'll send for them. Now I have an address.
Well, begging your pardon, Mr. Tallman, and I suppose you may tell me to mind my own affairs, but there's those who might say that Mr. Hutchings would not be the finest friend you'd make here.
What do you mean?
Now, mind, I don't say as the man's really that sort, but well, it has been said that he's been questioned by the police. I really shouldn't say it, but a grave robbing.
Grave? Oh, come now.
I only say as being said by others.
That really is a bit much, Mrs. Candle. Hutchings seems a decent sort.
Well, seems maybe, Mr. Tallman, but I know is.
Mrs. Candle, answer your door.
Here now, Mr. Hutchings. You're making enough noise to raise the... What can I do for you?
I've come for Tallman. Have you been talking again, Mrs. Candle? He's been acting a bit strange these last few days.
Oh, my, no. It's just as those will say... Oh, my.
Have a care, Mrs. Candle, that I don't call for you one dark night.
Oh!
Oh, why, thank you. Mrs. Candle, I'd love to wait inside. Yes, it is a dreary day, isn't it? Tallman! Oh, Tallman, are you about, lad?
Coming, Hutchins. Coming.
Come on, lad. I've someone for you to meet. A man in your own line of work. Fella's been a missionary to the heathen since Adam was a pup.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm not certain.
Tallman, the past few days you've been acting a little strange. Putting some distance between us, as it were. I suppose you've been told some tales about me.
Well, not as you notice.
Just walk with me a moment. I'm sure the day will improve, and with it, your mood. I want to tell you some things about me. What I do. They've told you some terrible tales about me, haven't they? How I butcher babies and rob graves.
Something like that.
Do you believe them?
I'll tell you the truth, Hutchings. I'd assume not. You're a capital fellow, and you treated me well. But then I'm a stranger here, and I've known you only a short time.
Lad, you disappoint me. I'm a reputable surgeon at a respectable college. Certainly I've a need to deal with the dead. To learn, I must examine bodies.
But it sounds so... I'm not sure.
The people hereabouts see only the gore, the blood. It's hard fighting illness and disease on the one hand and fear and ignorance on the other.
Of course, I understand how you must feel. It's just a thought. I suppose I see it, though. Yes. Yes, I do.
I'm glad, Tom. Well, then, that's that. Let's off to Meacham's. He's a rare specimen. Mind now that you remain civil to him. He's been among the primitives most of his life, and sometimes he, well, responds as a primitive. But he's nonetheless a remarkable man, and he set a fine table.
A delightful meal, Mr. Meacham. I've never had a finer roast of pork.
With turnips and onions, it's the only way. Learned from a cook while I was in the army. Roast it well, he said. And it stood me in good stead among the savages.
You must have had some memorable experiences, Mr. Meacham.
Well, yes, lad. Oh, I remember it was one time there was, 100 savages standing all about with wild-looking eyes and hair all twisted up with pig fat. Was, 20 with me, I suppose. And don't you know, they lay right down awaiting the final blow from one of them wicked long spears the buggers carry. But not me. Was never an Englishman to bow the knee, boys, save to our own sovereign king. So I stood and stared full at them. They reckoned I must have had mighty magic not to fear them. And rightly so.
But surely, sir, not all of the places you visited have been so wild.
Oh, boy, I was a missionary for 40 years among the savages. 40 years with the cannibals and headhunters, carrying the word of God. I've set foot where no white man and precious few black men have ever been. I've seen things that would have driven another man mad. But now, boys, I'm not the man I was. I fear the wine and rich food have undone me. I must beg your pardon and prepare for an early bed.
Oh, you needn't rise, sir. We'll show ourselves out. My thanks for the fine table.
Oh, and mine. And for the company.
You're more than welcome, lads. And may I look forward to your company again, then?
Oh, certainly. We'd be honored. Tormund?
Oh, of course. Honored. I don't think I've ever had a finer roast of pork or better port wine.
Quite right. Quite right. Tallman, you're a fine lad. I respect you. Why don't you give up this chasing around after some hoary old notion of an all-powerful god? Come into business with me. I tell you the truth, lad, there's good money to be made.
It is not a hoary notion. I'm called to the ministry, beside which I've little taste for your business. Medicine's fine for you bloodthirsty chaps.
Medicine? I'm talking business. Do you realize that a fine mounted skeleton commands sometimes £200?
What?
That's a year's wages for many. Good God, man. Every one of these pitiable wretches that snarl about our streets is going to die. What a fallow field. Why, there's markets in America, on the continent, that simply cry out for fine British products.
Hutchings, you're mad. Quite mad.
You've a strange notion of friendship, Tormund. Here I offer to make you a partner. You laugh at me. Oh, well, I suppose it's not to be. Well, let's off to Mrs. Candle's, then. Here, I've a
flask of Mitchum's port. Fortify yourself. This night air breeds some strange diseases.
Mrs. Kendall?
Yes, Mr. Torrelman?
I wanted to apologize for coming in last night. For the noise. We'd had too much wine and it got the better of us, I'm afraid. I'm truly sorry.
Oh, you might... oh, thank you.
Mrs. Kendall? Mrs. Kendall, are you ill? What can I do?
It's, beg your pardon. It's like as not a touch of the night devils. It will be gotten directly.
Certainly, I hope so. You must take care of yourself. No, you sit there. I'll answer the door.
Torrelman, just the very man. Here now, Mrs. Kendall. That cough sounds quite bad.
Oh, it's not so much.
Ah, but it might be. Best I examine you.
Leave off. I don't want you touching me. You just leave off. I'll not be stretched out for you and your foul friends to fool with.
Hutchins, perhaps you should leave.
He's angel of death. Satan himself.
Oh, Mrs. Kendall, please calm yourself.
I'll call later, Torrelman. Calm her and I'll examine her when I return.
Damn you, Hutchings. You will not touch me. Your touch is the touch of the grave. May you meet a black end. May you...
Oh, now, Hutchings, we'll talk later.
Take care of her, Torrelman.
Calm yourself, Mrs. Candace. He's gone. It's all right.
No. He's the angel of death. When he calls you, you've little time left. I don't want to die. Oh,
I'm
please.
Sure. Mrs. Campbell, you must be calm. Hutchings is a doctor of medicine. Please, Mrs. Campbell, please. I sought her as best I could, Hutchings, but she was very upset. Very frightened of you. I seem to feel that you could, well, sense death, or tell it's coming, as it were.
She's right, of course.
What?
In some cases, the symptoms are unmistakable. As in hers, for example. The coughing, the bloody mucus, the pallor. She's consumptive.
Consumptive?
Probably won't last the summer out.
Whew. Hutchings, did you...
Did I what?
The night before last, I saw you leaving the house. I was watching from the window above. Did you,
do business with her? Yes, I did. I gave her £10. Ten, because you spoke so well of her.
Then she was right, wasn't she? You are the angel of death.
I brought her some peace, lad. That ten went to gin to numb her brain, and laudanum to quieten the cough.
What will you get for her?
Well, it depends on the call in the market. Perhaps £2, perhaps 20. I paid her well as you liked her, not as she was worth so much. Now, were she a healthy young person, about 20, well, that would be a different story. I've a buyer with a standing need for healthy young cadavers. On ice, with proper papers, he'll pay a good sum. Lord knows I need one such right now.
Now? Why?
Well, back a week or two, I found a lad about 20 in frail health. He was fading before my very eyes, the colour leaving him, yet still well fleshed out and solid. I signed him up, of course, and my buyer paid me £200 against my promise of a quick delivery. And then, 3 nights ago, he and his family burnt to death when their house went up.
Oh, no.
All that was left was charred and crumbling bone, and I've no other prospects. Not a one.
Oh, I'll never face this kind of talk with calm. Can we not speak of something else?
No, I'm sorry, but...
Is anything wrong?
No, not at all. You must excuse me, Torrelman. I'll speak with you later.
Oh, very well. Goodbye, Hutchings.
Tall man, how are you? Do come in.
Thank you. Been
several days since you've been here.
Yes.
I was becoming worried. Are you well?
Yes, sir, I'm fine. I really wanted to ask you, have you heard from Hutchings? I haven't seen him in several days.
Oh, neither have I. Lad's probably off on a fling, much like me before I joined the ministry years.
Well, I'm rather worried about him. Mr. Meacham, may I confide in you as a man of the cloth?
Why, surely, lad. What is that?
You know of Hutchings' trade.
Trade?
Well, not medicine. The other...
Oh, I've heard something, yeah.
Well, those things are true. Hutchings came to my room at Satter's just before he disappeared. He was distraught, Mr. Meacham, as I could never have imagined him. He told me that he was in a great deal of trouble.
Tolman, I failed another contract. Got more money in advance on a body promised and not come through. He's sworn to put the law on me. Do you know what'll happen to me if I'm put in jail? With the hardest, the most cruel of those who misunderstand me? I'll be killed. Beaten to death.
Well, can you not return the money? Surely that would...
It's all spent. All.
Hutchings, where are you going?
Stay here. For God's sake, leave me alone.
And so he ran out into the street. I was afraid for his safety, so I followed. He went straight to Mrs. Candle's and went inside. She'd been making some progress against the consumption, recovering somewhat. I was going to go in after Hutchings, but I waited outside, in the shadows beside the step. And a few moments later, Hutchings came out.
Dan, damn me forever. Get rid of this. Now. Police! Oh, police! Mrs. Candle is dead! Police!
The little bottle. I picked it up from the gutter as he ran off.
Ah, and you think...
That Hutchings killed Mrs. Candle with poison.
I see. You've spoken to no one else about this?
No one. I wanted to speak to him first. What am I to do?
I'd say you'd best leave it with me. I'll find a way to deal with it.
Thank you, sir. It's a great relief not to have to bear this alone.
And now, lad, I've a pork roast going. We dine presently. But first, there's something I want you to see. This is my library. Well, what do you think of it?
I've never seen anything like this. What a remarkable room.
This is where I feel most at home, lad. Here amid the things I brought from around the world. This one small room. A man's whole life behind one door.
This is beautiful. What is it?
If you were to take that mask into some of the places I could tell you, you'd be hailed as a god. Either that or spit it on a great iron bar and roast it. Some wine, lad?
I really don't think I...
Come now. Join me in fellowship. You'll never have wine like this again, lad.
Very well.
Truly rare vintage, this.
It's very dark.
Ah, lad, it is. Here, drink up. That piece of bone in your hand. Mind the groove about the middle?
Oh.
Well, that bone was pierced through the nose of a great dark son of Shen.
This is a very powerful vintage. Much more than I'm used to.
Remember St. Paul, lad. A little wine for thy stomach's sake. That's it. Have you seen these carvings? This young lady here, carved from ivory, lad. Are you feeling well?
This wine, very strong. I think I've had enough.
Oh, feeling poorly, are you? Well, best you lie down. Here, let me help.
You dizzy. Can't stand up.
Back with us, are you?
Mr. Meacham. What?
can't move.
Quite right. Don't bother trying to struggle free. Can't be done.
What's the meaning of this?
Why, I'm going to answer your questions about Hutchings. Isn't that what you wanted?
Why have you tied me to the chair?
Why, so you'd listen to me all the way through. I was a missionary for 40 years. 40 years among the cannibals and headhunters. But you must understand, I was quite unsuccessful as a missionary. In those 40 years, I don't think I ever converted one heathen. Instead, they converted me.
Converted you? I don't...
Look at these. Do you see, lad?
What? I don't... Oh, my God! Those are...
Heads. Shrunk down to apple size, but heads nonetheless. Here, do you recognize this?
Oh, please, meet some men.
Pay attention. Do you recognize this?
Oh, meet some, please, I beg you. Hutchings, oh, my God, no Hutchings.
Quite right.
I can't, oh, the lower girl, please meet
you. But don't you see, Tormund? I fed you an Hutchin so many times that you completely emptied my larder. Now it's time to pay me back. You wanted to know what happened to Hutchins. Well, this evening's pork roast.
Oh, sure you can't mean... Oh, no.
The pork, lad. The pork roast. Long pig, that's what they call it. Like a yearling swine. It's people, and I save their heads to remember them by. You see, I was trapped by a large band of savages. They give me a choice, to feed their bellies or become one of them. Well, after several months, I found a taste developing. A hard taste to satisfy under most conditions. So you see, I must take advantage of every opportunity.
No, you can't, not me. Please.
Under other circumstances, I'd probably have let you sleep. But I promised to tell you what became of that chin. Now, I told you.
Oh, the love of God, meet him down, please. Somebody help me. Help.
I've been grateful for your company, Tolman. I remember you with fondness. I'll try to make it quick, lad. Probably into the heart. Or maybe the throat. Hang you to drain. Tolman? Tolman, lad? Ah, well, he's gone to his reward. Would you care to confirm that, sir?
A stirring performance, Meacham. I was terrified even in the next room.
My thanks, Mr. Hutchins. He's dead, then?
Yes, quite. Heart failure, I should say. Frightened to death. All in all, Meacham, it's over. He was a good lad. If only he'd let well enough alone. We couldn't afford to be revealed, Meacham.
Well, let's to dinner. You will join me.
Thank you. But,
You look pale. What is it?
It's just, well...
Out with it.
What you told Tormund about the pork, the cannibals.
Fine tale.
Yes, but...
You're wondering. You're afraid it might be true. That I'm carving roasts from the bodies in the cellar.
No, not that. But it is pork, isn't it?
There's a roast on. Perhaps you would be well advised to be very sure of who your friends are and what they're up to. And now, the names of those who were involved in this evening's story.
But Oh, What Happened to Hutchings was written for radio by Edmonton author T.E. Sallows. It starred Joan Hurley as Mrs. Candle, Alan Stebbings as Hutchings, Christopher Gaze as Tallman, and Bill Mylan as Meacham. Sound recording by Al Lambden, with sound effects by Dean Purvis. Production assistant, Barbara Galt. The play was produced and directed in Edmonton by Laurie Seligman. Don Kowalczuk is executive producer of the series. Upcoming plays on Nightfall include The Cruel Husband, dramatized by David Lester, and The Signalman, dramatized by Otto Lowy. Here's an excerpt from The Cruel Husband.
Madame, there is someone in your closet.
No, monsieur.
No? Well, I will look for myself.
If you open that door and find no one there, you must understand that everything will be over between us.
All right, Josephine. I won't open it.
I'm glad.
On one condition.
Yes?
I know how pure your soul is. You never fail to remind me. And I know that you lead a saintly life. You would not want to commit a mortal sin at any cost. Hmm?
That's true, monsieur.
So, here's your crucifix. Swear to me, before God, that there's no one there.
Then give me the crucifix, I swear.
Next week, we visit the West Indies in a play by Janet Benelli. It's called Daddy's Girl. Until then, I'm Frederick Hent for Nightfall.